welcome to another episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast, a podcast by a group of sentient coral who have way too many board games.
Sentient coral?
Yeah, I don't know.
I love that. I love it.
I'm Tom, and I'm here with...
Justin.
Adam.
And Debbie.
And we are talking about our recent playthrough of Reef by Next Move Games, a little game about building a reef. Debbie, do you want to read the... blurb on the back?
I can. I'm trying to think of the noise that a reef makes, and it does make noise, and that really
sucks. I don't think it makes a noise.
Sucks. I want it to make some sort of weird sound effect.
Some light kinda bubbling?
Dive into the beauty of the ocean and discover the magnificent coral reef. In the game, you will act as your own reef and take turns selecting how to grow in size and shape. Who will grow the most beautiful and valuable structure? No matter the outcome, you'll be amazed by its grandeur.
Such grandeur.
Verbosity is not... in there.
You're saying it's a short blurb.
Yes.
It's a short blurb.
But it does have the three main steps on how to play the game.
It sure does. Step one, select a card from the sea. Step two, grow the reef however you like. And step three, score points based on the pattern.
Also pretty vague, all things considered.
However you like might be a little overreaching.
Within reason there.
That's right. There are still rules.
It does have excellent visuals on the back there, though.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about the box first? You can...
No, please go.
You take your pieces, you set them off to the side, stack them up in whatever makes you happy. Just you don't want to have them all mixed up, because once the last piece of coral from a particular color is taken, then that signals the end of the game. You take your cards and you shuffle them up, you deal out three face up, and you keep the rest of the deck beside those three cards face up, because that one can get pulled from as well. You take your point tokens, set them off to the side, sort of, group them together so it's not a complete nightmare finding them. Mm-hmm. And then everybody gets a player board, four tokens, one of each color, two cards in hand, and 3 point tokens. The way the game works is on your turn, you can either take a card from the three that are face up or the deck. If you take one from the deck, then you have to like take one of your point tokens and put it on the card that's face up that has the least number of points on it to make it more desirable, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Then you get to put that in your hand. You have a hand limit of four, and then your turn's over. Or you can play a card from your hand. Each card consists of two parts. There's the top part, which has the coral. So looking at the example here, there's like two greens. When you play this card that has two greens on the top and a symbol on the bottom, you take two greens from the stack, and you get to put them next to pieces that are already on your board, or you can start stacking them up vertically up to four, I think it is. Then once you put your stuff down, you get to score the pattern that's on the bottom part of the card. So in this example, it's got just a single orange piece.
How many orange pieces do you have? Count them up.
Yeah, it's how many orange pieces do you have? And you get 1 point for each one of those, and then you get those points. You take the points from the point total bucket, and you put them in your own bucket, and then you have a bucket of points.
Just a bucket of points.
And then you keep doing that until you're done.
Buckets sold separately.
You don't have to be able to score points. There's a lot of times where when I was playing, I had no cards in my hand that I could actually score. So it's not like it's not a requirement. You can just play a card to get the pieces to kind of
sometimes
fulfill
you don't,
an end goal.
You don't have that synergy going. So
yeah,
especially in the beginning. It took me a few games to be like kind of get into that synergy groove of only picking the cards. I'm like, oh, I can do this with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Really, it's just like Gloomhaven.
Oh, dear.
Really, this game is about as deep as you can get. The patterns are not very complicated, but there are some variations that can bring up some questions. Like, if you have these examples here, there's like three purple pieces that are kind of in a little bit of an L shape or like a corner. So you would be able to, if you were trying to score this and you had two of these different patterns sitting on your board, when you're looking at them face down, which is important because everything sort of gets stacked up, you would get like 4 points for each one of those patterns. But there are some patterns where you can that are more complicated, like having a orange that's surrounded by greens. You could have a couple of oranges surrounded by greens, but you only get to count each green once, basically. Like, you can't use the same piece in a second pattern over and over and over, kind of thing. So once they've been used to score you points, you can't use them in the pattern again.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Some of the patterns have rules specific to, like, how high up the coral has to be. But other than that, it's pretty self-explanatory. There's not too many of these that I would consider complicated. There's a couple of ones that have wilds and some that have, like, diagonals. But all in all, it's all just building up your little thing and then counting your points based on the pattern. Yeah. So it's none of them are too weird. So, yeah, very simple.
And the bits... So the bits, the tokens, the pieces of coral, whatever you please to call them, they're these fantastic, chunky, plastic...
Brightly colored,
different shaped pieces that nicely fit together. Like, they don't snap together to the point where they, like, get stuck.
They're not Lego.
They have, like, little, like, almost like tongue and groove style kind
divots.
Of... Yeah. And so they stack on each other
similar
nicely.
Similar to Lego, but not as predominant.
not as robust.
Yeah.
Less of a tight tolerance.
A what tolerance?
A tight tolerance.
They fit really well. They just fit nicely. It's right. Nice. It's easy.
Yes.
Let's not go down this tunnel.
Oh my God.
We're too far.
They're fantastic. They are not... They're not pieces of cardboard that you're punching out. They're not pieces that I think are easily lost or consumed.
Vacuumed up. You would notice if you vacuumed up one of these pieces.
You're not going to break them really easily.
They will fuck up your Dyson.
Yeah. When you start to get that really bad whirring noise from your vacuum.
Check for reef tokens. Yeah.
But they are, honestly, that's probably one of the best parts of this game. I think we've all kind of agreed that the coral bits are the standout.
It's always nice when a game has something that you can play with when it's not your turn.
It's true.
The turns of this game go really fast. Like, it's not a long game by any means, but... half the time I was just sitting there playing with my coral. I don't care if it's my turn. I got things to play with.
Did you have a favorite shape?
I liked the orange ones because you could make a gear system out of them.
Yeah, I think Debbie said she liked the orange ones too.
I like the X-y ones.
Yeah, that's the X-y ones, I think.
Yeah.
Aren't there ones that were like gears though?
But the
yellow ones are like gears.
But the orange ones, the orange ones mesh together really well too.
Okay. Yeah, I think you guys are talking about the same ones because there's...
Yeah, those are ones.
Kind of like plus signs. Plus signs with little extra knobbies on them.
Yeah, kind of like a hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag orange.
Hashtag orange.
This is what we think about when we're not playing games.
Hashtag orange.
Some things that I really liked about this game is, you know, it's speed, simplicity. You're able to play with the pieces. For a guy that has kids, I'm looking forward to, like, busting this out at some point. It's something that, while the kids probably aren't going to get into the, like, strategic depth of it anytime soon, that's pretty simple to be able to say, here, take these two and put them on your board and come up with something that looks good. And it always looks nice. It's cute. And it's one of those games that I think that you could... like, see from across the room and say, like, oh, hey, that looks kind of neat, and sort of get people who are maybe not into the hobby, like, who people that aren't in the hobby, more interested into the hobby, because it's, you know, brightly colored, looks like a toy for the most part, and it's pretty easy to slip into, and it's fairly inoffensive, you know, there's not, the scoring isn't even that hard. There isn't a ton... that someone could get worked up about. The scoring, which is the biggest pain point for a lot of new people, is pretty easy because it happens when you put something down.
Yes.
You count up your patterns. Some of them are a little bit more complicated than others, but you don't have to go and, like, figure out your chaining groups of trains that are leading into your mechanized war infantry or whatever the fuck, right? Like,
you don't have to consult the manual about how many points do I get for having these many close together, and are there any secret objectives?
Did I score any? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just a simple, nice little game. I think if it didn't have the chunky pieces, it would probably be a very different thing because, like, that's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a good thing that they went with that. Otherwise, this would be not as good. You'd just be stacking things up, which might not be that much fun.
Yes. If you made this game with just some cardboard shapes, y'all wouldn't be having as much fun. I know I wouldn't.
Yeah, if you were just punching out and stacking 1/8 thick cardboard discs on top of each other, it's just not as good.
No. Like,
well, you wouldn't even be able to see what the colors are or anything. Like,
that's right. It would really deter from the game. I mean, this has now come up a few times in a few different episodes of this podcast, but I think this is just like a, yet again, your subtle reminder going out to all of you board game designers and that sort of stuff to up your component game, because the people are paying attention.
Well, before Adam puts you on blast.
Yeah, especially if that is like the core sort of game loop.
Yeah.
Constantly handling something, make it nice to handle.
Jack it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the point tokens are the, you know, 1/8 thick cardboard.
That's
garbage. Yeah. But, you know, like, what are you going to do about that? Like, you're not going to give out poker chips for this thing.
No. But like, when your game is based around manipulating components.
Yeah.
You got to have some gutzpa.
Yes. Yeah. It needs to have some.
They have to be substantial. Yeah. Right?
They have to have something to them.
Yeah, and that's what this game does, like, 100% correctly.
Yeah, I think I found for myself that I almost, like, after we played the first game, I almost started to, in a sense, plan or predict the cards that were coming up, because I feel like the patterns are often very similar. And even though there's, I don't know, 60-something cards, I think, is what there is in there, you kind of get a feel for what's going to come up, which makes it a little... What's the word I'm looking for?
Shallow.
Predictable. Yeah. Cool. Like, it's not, nothing big and shocking comes up at any point in time. You're not surprised really by anything. I kind of fell into that for myself. I fell into that kind of a bit of a hole in that way, because I looked at what I started with and I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to get that and I'm not going to be able to get that, but I know this is coming up at some point. So I'm going to kind of aim myself down this pathway. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. It doesn't make for a fun game, because you are not changing with the game. You are expecting the game to come to you. It doesn't work very well. But I don't know. I think we've all come to the conclusion. It's a fairly basic basic game. The big driving factor for this game is looks, right? How it looks, the components that are into it, how easy it is for kind of anybody to really be able to pick up and introduce. And I like the fact that Tom brought up that I think this is a good introductory game for kids as well. Like, even if they aren't necessarily doing the strategic piece and they're not looking at the cards for the points aspects, I think that they learn that, right? I think that that's something that, you know, like, you start by being like, okay, like, place these pieces here and so on and so forth. But it kind of comes with the osmosis of playing board games, right? And I think that that's a huge learning mechanism that is fantastic for kids. And it's super encouraging when the bits are bright and colorful. And I don't know, maybe they want to throw them at dad's head because he did something stupid. But
you stole my card!
Sounds likely.
I'd probably do that. Let's be realistic.
Yeah, yeah. Surprised you don't do it more often, really.
I got three guys around me.
Please don't. Some of them are real pointy.
I need my defense mechanisms where I can find them.
Your reef components. The box is lovely. Love the box. That box looks nice on a shelf.
Yeah.
Nice bright colors. Love the components. The gameplay is nice and simple, but it's rewarding. Doing all the little pattern matching, and when you can kind of get this sort of synergy, when you can get that synergy going of every card gets you more coral and scores you points, I'm just like, yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah!
You got your little engine going?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just a nice, fun, short game.
It's a good filler. It's a good filler. It's a great filler.
The nice part of it as well is the rule manual is all of 3 pages long, more or less. Almost all the rules is summarized on the back of the box, which, hey, I'm okay with a game that I don't have to go through a 20-page manual with and check the appendix.
With a 25-page appendix.
Yeah.
After the 20-page rule manual.
It is always refreshing to play a nice, fun little game like this. Yeah, that's my thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, like this game was designed by Emerson Matsuchi, the same guy who did Century Spice Road and all of the Century line. He's a very talented designer of board games, and I'm I was kind of surprised when I saw his name attached to this one. Is like Century Spice Road has again a lot more to it. You know what I mean? Like a lot more depth, a lot more weight to it than what this one does. One thing I like, the things that I really do appreciate about this game are that it's quick. We played a handful of games. A game took us no longer than 30 minutes. I love the three-dimensional gameplay, like being able to use that Z axis, if you will, or to like build in a third dimension.
That vertical space.
The vertical space, yeah. Like there's not a lot of games that do that. It's you know, the most vertical actions that you're doing are like picking up a token to move it or picking up some dice to roll them. That like it just doesn't, like, you don't build in the third dimension.
Really, only nice. Dexterity games really have third dimension space being used.
I really like the top down scoring of it, where you have to kind of hover over top of it and what can I see? And so, I mean, maybe you have a red and a yellow coral underneath, but you only really care about the purple coral that's on top, because you are looking top down at it. I like that some of the cards make you try to plan out to where I need to have this specific piece of coral on this specific level in order to score points for it. It's cool. It's got a good balance that you need to kind of weigh in your own mind of like, at what point do I need to collect resources? And at what point do I need to then shift gears and try and score points? But then as I'm scoring points, I'm depleting my resources. So now I need to, I'm constantly flipping back and forth between those two things. It's cool. I'm going to echo what a couple others have said here and say that the colors and the box art is beautiful. We were talking a little bit off mic about display games, how I've started to see people nowadays start to have their board game shelf, whatever it happens to be. A lot of times it's an IKEA Kallax shelf.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I'm waiting for my Swedish money to come in any day, but
you can add CGS podcast for our PayPal.
That's it. Yeah. And what people will do is they'll fill their shelves with these games and then take some games, and instead of having them lined up where you just see the spine of the game, they actually turn them and use them as display pieces on top of their shelf. I think that this box is a prime example of a game that could be used as a display piece. It's colorful. It's very good looking. It kind of just has this coral reef scene on it, and
yeah,
it draws the eye in.
It is nice when developers put in, like, you get a little art development and it's not something that you put in your shelf and you're like, I'm going to need some doors on this.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Looking at you, Conan.
I was just going to say, are we talking about the little gold pasties again?
It's crazy to have something that you can show off, you know, especially a lot of, again, as we progress further and further now, people are starting to make board game rooms where people come in and it's all on display, and you have a bunch of where people are having a room that's decorated and dedicated to board gaming.
Yeah.
Do not steal my thunder. Do
and it's
not
like
steal...
a guilty pleasure.
You are going to steal my thunder.
It's been stolen.
Mean.
No, that's, yeah, it's, I think that there's a
do
lot
want,
of...
Do you want me to push the button? You want me to push the button? Yeah. I can cut him off.
Mute
sorry,
him.
Sorry, Adam, your time's up. Next caller.
Yeah, it's good. And again, components, A+ on the components, like top end, beautiful. Other designers, take notes. This is what components should be like. They're beautiful, colorful, chunky, plastic.
Yeah, for a game like this, where that's kind of your... Yeah, if it's something you're going to be using all the time, make it nice.
Ooh, 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 confession time with Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. So tell us what you feel.
My confession is this game taps into something for me that I don't think Adam will ever let me do, but I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to take the box lids of some of the games and actually like put them on the wall, like actually create like a wallpaper almost out of box lids. That would be the most expensive decorating ever. And I don't think Adam would ever let me do this, but it's just the the box is so pretty, and they've done such a good job of making it like kind of this combination between realism and like rounded, cartoony, like feel good, tingly skin. Like, you just, oh, it just makes you feel so good looking at it. But there's so many things that you could do with it. Like, I would just, I would take these box lids. Oh. I would make Adam like buy two versions of all the games that I really like.
You know, you could take a picture and get it printed off on a,
like, well, and this is, we were having a discussion about this actually. And I said, you know, it's almost like the, like they make wallpaper with, like, newspaper articles and stuff like that. Right.
Right.
And you could easily probably just take these images and create it and like print it out on a plotter or something like that and create wallpaper out of it. But God, how tactily, like,
you could just go up there and just,
would it be just to
touch
just
the wall,
go put them up, and like, oh, that would just, it would be a wonderful thing. Adam already said no.
You should get,
see it on his face.
Rude. You should get the back of the Castles of Burgundy board as wallpaper and stick that up.
No one would ever come and play games with us. It'd be like instantaneous headache walking in that room.
I want to see the back of the new board. I want to see if they carried that over to the 20th anniversary edition.
Oh, God.
10th anniversary, 20th anniversary, one of the two.
I don't know. But I've, like, seriously, that is what I'd love to do. The suggestion has been made, I don't know, either Tom or Adam, one of the two of them's like, you should just, you know, go to the producers, directors. No.
Brian, say producer.
Is it producer?
Publisher.
Publisher.
Publisher. Thank you. Go to the publisher and see if you can actually just get a box lid from them.
They'll just send me a backup box lid.
Yeah. Just see if you can get a box lid. I would do it. Absolutely. I would plaster an entire wall with, like, even if the game was not that good, I would still do it if the art was absolutely amazing. Yeah. So that's my confession moment. So if you ever see Adam crying in a corner, like staring at our bank account.
And an Instagram post from Debbie that just has a bunch of box lids. You might
look
know,
what I did,
know
honey.
What's going on.
But I've always wanted to do that. And this, the box for Reef taps into that so hard for me. And it reminds me that that's what I want to do. And one day when Adam's not home, maybe I'll do it.
You can just unbox all his board games, throw all the components in some Ziploc bags, and put all the boxes on the wall.
Adam's eyebrows are like...
Just chuck the contents into a couple of unmarked black plastic bags.
It would be fantastic, but think our basement would look amazing.
Fact.
Amazing.
Worth it.
Worth.
No.
# Team Mrs. Wynn. But no, I mean, beyond that, the only other thing that I could honestly say about this game is this is like the perfect game for, it's short enough that it's a good end of night game. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever doing a game night where you're, I don't know, like
playing something heavier.
Play something really heavy and you're like at this like utter combat and you have Thomas ragging on Justin and like,
so we just finished a game of like Axis and Allies.
Yeah. And they want to kill each other.
Tom's thrown something at Justin at least twice.
Yeah. So like it's a good night ender for games where it's been super intense.
You can't leave angry after
you
a game.
You said you wouldn't tell anyone about that.
Oh,
sure,
dear.
There was 8 other witnesses, but
I feel like this is what happened to X-Wing.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. X-Wing needed a little bit of reef.
After a nice hyper competitive game, you just want to sit back and relax
after
with a casual game of Reef.
I think that's the big thing that this game offers. It doesn't, for people that play a lot of board games and they're heavily into board games, I don't know that this game offers a lot. I think Azul is just, in my world, Azul is just as pretty and a little more thought-provoking.
More strategy to it,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so this one kind of falls off a little bit for me in that sense. It's not nearly as great as I wanted it to be. I've been trying to poke at this game for a long time. I've been pointing it out to Adam because I was like, oh, the game box. Like, I just love how it looks. And so you want it to be really, really, really good. It kind of falls off a little bit for me. I'll give you guys my rating. I give it a 4 out of 5, which is, if you get the opportunity to play it, absolutely play it. This is The kind of game that I think would do well in a smaller collection. So people that have, you know, not, i.e. not Thomas's collection. This. Yeah, or our collection even really. Once you kind of go above, I think, probably 100, 150 games, this probably won't fit very well in your collection just because there are so many games that do like that are on that kind of easier, lower strategy side that I think just for us fit a little better. Mm. But this is a super good game to introduce people into games, to introduce kids into games. It is beautiful. You're not going to wreck it anytime soon. I can't knock it, right? Like I can't give it less than 4 because it's well done. It fits a niche, like Adam said, that isn't really out there with this whole vertical build thing. There's so many things that it does right. It's just not enough for me. So a 4, I think everybody should try it, and figure it out for yourself if you like it or not. It's not super expensive. It's good, basic, good game. So 4 out of 5 for me.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have much else to add to that. My rating is whether I'm going to keep it in my collection or not. This is one of mine, so that still applies. I'll be keeping it around. It is on the lighter side, so it's not usually something it's not usually something I go for in my like day-to-day sort of situations, but given that it's super family friendly, and I'm looking forward to pressuring my children into playing board games with me, it's going to be one of the ones that I'm going to be using to try to get them into it. So it's a definite keeper for me. I don't really have much else to say. I think Debbie said most of what I had. So Justin.
It's a game that if I had it, I'd keep it, but I probably won't buy it. Just because I have a lot of games that I haven't played yet. So just in general, I'm not going to buy any games. But I do like the idea of using it as kind of a palate cleanser at the end of a other hyper competitive game. It's just kind of fun. It's fun to play with all the pieces. Nice and like brightly lit colored fun game.
I like that it's not stupid humor. Do you know what I mean? Like I feel like a lot of palate cleansers.
It's just family friendly fun.
Yeah. Like I feel like you get a lot of that really dumb, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I want to say fart jokes, but that's not really
kind of lowest common denominator. You're thinking like some Cards Against Humanity or Unstable Unicorn kind of thing.
I feel like this is a palate cleanser and on a different kind of in a better level.
Yeah, yeah, it's a palate cleanser with a little bit of actual gameplay.
Yeah,
and it's just fun to play with the components and just appease that little pattern matching demon inside your head. So
I just bring out the box and give it to Justin. Let him play with it for 5 minutes before he leaves.
And so, yeah, it's a game I would recommend for someone building up their collection or, yeah, if they have kind of younger kids. It's a fun game that you can't wreck with the nice components. What do you think, Adam?
So when we played this, I left and I thought, you know what? Like, I got to run out. I got to go buy a copy of this game because I enjoyed it that much. I still enjoy it. Just after sleeping on it for a couple days and really letting my thoughts kind of distill a little bit. At the end of the day, I don't have the overwhelming need to pick it up, mostly because I know Tom already has it. But with that being said, I still like it. I still think it's a really good game. I think it's for people who are maybe starting to lean into the hobby, people who are quote unquote muggles, who are starting to find their way and starting to find themselves getting more excited about hobby board gaming. I think this is a great avenue to go into. I think that this is approachable, and can be played with many different people from many different age groups. So at the end of the day, I mean, I give this thing an 8 out of 10. I think it's a really good game. I think it's worth picking up, especially if you're kind of newer to the hobby. I do think it has a niche. It is a lighter game that fits in at the end of a night or at the beginning of a night, or if you're just waiting, oh, you know what, we got 20 minutes until the pizza guy shows up, so maybe we can get a game of Reef in because we don't want to start something and then have to break for pizza or whatever, right? Or we're waiting on
Gloomhaven. I don't know. Get a little bit of Gloomhaven out while you're waiting for the pizza guy. That's more my style.
Holy shit. How long are you waiting for that pizza?
2 hours.
Coming from a different city?
Oh, he's going to be waiting at that door until I'm ready for that pizza. That
motherfucker is going to wait till my turn's done.
This is when Debbie gets blacklisted on every pizza delivery guy's
That's
site
That's why it's
ever.
Taking two hours at this point.
That's it, yeah.
You got to find the one guy who's willing to deliver to your house. Oh, fuck, not these people again.
At the end of the day, I give it an 8. It's good. I think it has a spot. It just, you know, I'm not going to be rushing out to try and find a copy of it, but also my collection is, you know, much larger than average, I'd say.
Would you pick it up in a vacuum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you didn't own it and maybe your collection
if
wasn't
large. If
you went
to the vacuum store and you saw a copy free.
Well, no, I tried to pick up some of the pieces with my Dyson and then I had to go fix it. So,
right, yeah.
Like, you can't. The
so game, you brought it to the vacuum store to play while waiting for them to fix
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay.
But I was down a component because it was stuck in the vacuum.
Gotcha.
If you like this episode, please go on to whatever your thingy is and like and subscribe and hit us up with them 5-star reviews. I think we've got some sort of thing where if we get up to 55-star reviews on iTunes, we'll do an extra couple episodes or whatever on our individual top 10 board games.
Just to add on to that, you know what? I've decided I gave it some thought after the Castles of Burgundy episode, and once we hit these 55-star reviews, not only will we do the top 10 list episodes, but I will give away a copy of Castles of Burgundy to really kind of add on to the pot here.
And that's
really
the original version. Yep. So there's that. If you need to get a hold of any of us, if you want to get a hold of any of us, please, you can use the email collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com. You can use Twitter @CGSpodcast. You can find me on Twitter @TeamRageTom. www.thecollapsinggameshelf.com is where you'll find the Podbean hosting thing if you need to get a hold of that. There's the RSS feed and stuff off of there if you're tired of listening to these online, I guess. That's pretty much it. Debbie.
Oh, you can get me on Instagram and Twitter at Mrs. Wynn. That's @MRSWHYN. I do try to pay attention to our Twitter as much as possible. And we do look forward to hearing from you guys, letting us know what you like, what you don't like. If there's anything you think we should try, anything like that, just, let us know. I'll bring it to the table as long as you're nice and you don't make Tom cry. Or I don't think you're going to make Tom cry.
Which isn't that hard.
Aw. How about you there, Mr. Wynn?
Yeah, man. You can catch me on social media, Twitter and Instagram @ForTheWin, FORTHEWHYN. And most recently, God help me, I made a TikTok account. So... what am I going to put on there? I honestly don't know yet, but FORTHEWHYN on TikTok. Also, you can catch me on Twitch 5 days a week, streaming twitch.tv/ForTheWin. Same spelling. I've repeated it enough times. Write it down. God damn it. And the website as well, www.forthewin.com, which will also provide you with a link to the collapsinggameshelf.com.
And if for whatever reason you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter @DontTrustJustin.
Anything else?
No, that's
it. That's it. Okay. Thanks again for listening. I hope you have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Save the reef.